Up next is a story about a guy who built something, a business in this case. It was important enough to him that as he got older, he started looking around for someone to pass it on to. But in the process of settling on a successor, he discovered what he really wanted was a son. This story is set in the world of rare books, a field that seems to attract characters. Sound effect contributor Max Wasserman takes it from here.
What people remember best about Lewis Collins is his memory, what someone was wearing the day they met, what he ate for lunch while visiting another country. These details were stored in some sort of encyclopedia he kept in his head, right next to the thing that Lewis remembered best, books.
I would sit, you know, either in my house or in the coffee shop or in the bookstore, and I had a vision of all the books in the Bay Area.
This came from an interview that was filmed by a rare book trade group. Lewis has silver hair and the easygoing charm of a favorite uncle. His memory helped when it came to buying and selling books in San Francisco, which is where he ended up for a time in the 60s. Since he was a kid, Lewis dreamed of owning his own bookshop. That came true when he later moved to Seattle. Friends like Sybil James recall how he built a steady reputation.
He just was known as a good bookseller, a person who could find things for you, and a person that you could trust.
Then something unexpected happened, the internet. Suddenly, anybody with a computer could find books.
My value added disappeared immediately. I had nothing, so I had to like reshift, do everything, and then I'm competing with the goodwill to sell books on the internet.
He felt like an important part of the business was gone.
As time went, Lewis's interest in the book trade began to wane.
I know you've hoped at times to retire. What's the status of that?
I would retire out of the sitting in front of a computer, working as a glorified shipping clerk for Amazon. But I haven't figured out a way to do that.
Well, let us say that someone came along and bought your business.
Oh, I'd go out with a suitcase. I'd be very happy.
Except that last part, it's really a lot more complicated than that. We'll get to that in a bit, but first, let me tell you about another guy who was going through a rough patch. His name is Bill Wolf. You see, Bill was living in Seattle at the time with his wife and newborn daughter. He was making good money playing online poker. Then, the industry tanked. In 2011, a number of sites closed for reasons relating to fraud. Bill was looking to make a career shift anyways, but not on such short notice.
It was really hard. I have this memory of sitting on the floor and I was just kind of despondent and I was just like writing all over my pants with a marker, just, you know, almost in a trance, like, what am I going to do? What have I got myself into? I've got a 2-month-old daughter in the other room and this is the worst time to be having sort of, you know, midlife crisis career stuff going on.
Bill's a pretty reserved guy, so one of the few places he'd talk about his career troubles was at these dinner parties a friend would host. Here, Bill met someone whose life had also been turned upside down by technology. Lewis, the bookseller.
He would rant about the same things that I would rant about, but he came from personal experience of having lived in these olden times and me just suspecting that, yeah, we're going down the wrong track right now and I wish we'd get back to the days before I was born when it was, when Coke was a quarter and stamps were a penny and, you know, we bonded over our mutual cynicism.
The two were good friends when Bill found out something that changed how he looked at Lewis. It was at one of their dinner parties right before Bill left. He remembers stopping to kiss the host goodbye.
And then she sort of, you know, paused after the kiss and said, so you know that Lewis is looking to pass on his legacy to someone, right?
Let's unpack this for a second. Here's Bill learning through the grapevine that his friend Lewis, the same Lewis who said he'd happily retire, actually has plans to put him in charge of the book business. A complete left field moment. It took Bill a while to even process the idea. And then he just kind of forgot about it. Lewis never really brought it up. It wasn't until Bill left Seattle, moved back, and was looking for work that he got his first clear signal, a job working at the bookshop.
I didn't have any other great prospects at the time, and of course I love books and I love Lewis, so I said, yeah, definitely.
Bill got sucked into the business, first at the Rare Book Fair, then at the shop. All the while, Lewis kept dropping hints.
He would drop a comment, you know, hey, I guess, well, that's going to be your problem someday.
Keep in mind that nothing was in writing at this point. The idea that Lewis was going to hand over the business was just that, an idea, one that Bill still couldn't understand. And then there was another wrinkle. Lewis was looking for someone to take over the family business. Instead of grooming Bill, why didn't he just ask the son he already had?
We barely got along.
His name is Brian, and he lives in San Francisco. His relationship with his dad was pretty complicated growing up. Lewis left before he was born. The two didn't reconnect until much later, when Brian was an adult, over Facebook. When I asked about the book business, Brian was pretty blunt.
He wanted the business to prosper and do well. So clearly he couldn't have done it with me. That's just not going to work. I'm just the wrong person to do something like that. I'd sell all the proceeds and go to Mexico or something.
I only spoke with Brian for about 5 minutes. He kept trying to get off the phone in a polite way. I felt bad for keeping him in such uncomfortable territory.
Did you ever get the sense from Lewis that he wanted to like reconnect as father and son?
Yeah, not really. Nah, he wasn't very parental. He got that way in later years. He met little kids. It was then that he decided he liked kids. Not when I was little. There was none of that. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. As I said, I'm gonna get. I got stuff.
At some point, Bill found out about Brian. It didn't take a phone call for him to figure out what was going on.
Here's a guy who had a son, didn't raise him, got to a point that he regretted how things had played out, and wanted a second chance.
Part of this made sense to Bill because he had his own issues with his dad. The two have a good relationship now, but they weren't always on the same page while Bill was growing up.
We would see him every 2 weeks or so for a weekend, and I got sick of going through those motions when we would just go with dad and, you know, sit on a couch and watch TV and really not be working to build any kind of meaningful relationship, let alone father-son deeper stuff.
So on one end, Lewis is looking for his son. And in maybe a less conscious way, Bill kind of wanted a dad.
So from that point on, that's when the destiny in all this really was solidified in everyone's minds.
Bill finally embraced his role as an heir to the business and started working alongside Lewis with this in mind. Now that everyone was on the same page, you'd think things would get easier. But that's never the way with family.
I remember the first year, we had completed the first book fair together. I came back in. I had scores of notes. Notes on everything. Just tons and tons of ideas. And I was so excited to come in and show him how great of a partner I was going to be by, you know, just being involved and skin in the game and like really, and he wouldn't let me get the first few sentences out of my mouth before I could tell that it's just, this is a pointless exercise.
I mean, we used to say, you know, like he's our own personal curmudgeon.
Sybil James remembers the same thing about Lewis.
He knew we called him a curmudgeon and he knew he behaved that way sometimes.
For years, Bill relegated himself to the background. But being ignored wasn't even the worst part. Remember how the two didn't have a formal agreement? Well, guess what? After 7 years, there was still nothing to say Bill would actually inherit the business should something happen to Lewis. Eventually, the pressure became too much. Bill quit. He put a letter of resignation in on Friday, knowing this would give Lewis time to think about things over the weekend. Come Monday, the two met in the store.
We've got this all this anxiety that's built over the entire weekend, and now we're in the same room together, and it's like impossibly tense. And, you know, it starts in a nice, easy, sober way. Yeah, you know, I think it's probably best. And then, you know, it builds to a point where it really became like an out-of-body experience. I'm usually pretty calm demeanor kind of guy, but I just start really letting him have it.
Bill shouted about not being heard as a business partner. He dug in about there still being no agreement. In his own way, Lewis was receptive to Bill's grievances. After things calmed down, the two talked about possible ways forward.
And how this all formalized in the end is that he finally made a will 3 months before he died.
Lewis's family had a history of heart problems. One day last year, he left the shop to take his dog for a walk. Someone later found him unconscious on the sidewalk. He had a massive heart attack. Bill has been running the business ever since.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
This is Lewis's house. Well, actually, it's Bill's. After Lewis died, Bill took over the property, which includes the store. The whole thing is covered in boxes of books. I mean, really, you can't even see the kitchen floor. Apparently, things were worse when Lewis was around. Bill still can't believe that it's been a year since he died.
He presented something that, at least growing up, I don't feel like either of my parents were able to offer, which was kind of the whole package. It was obvious to both of us that whatever void there was in each of our lives, and for however long it lasted in each of our lives, we were able to make up for lost time by having that. We absolutely built a family here out of these missing parts that probably we all had.
For a brief time, those parts clicked. It didn't feel long enough. Bill still wishes he had more time to repay Lewis. But now he has other things to worry about, including a family of his own.